This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, I know, with all the public holidays, everybody's confused. So today is actually today's a working day. You got to get up, you got to get going, you got to do things. Sorry, Monday. All the things it brings with it. Although, if you think about it, actually, it's a bit of a Thursday. You know?
Well, it's a Wednesday. No, you're right. It's a Thursday.
Thursday.
Because there's Monday and Tuesday left.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
That's right. All right, so... good morning. Ben is here after a little bit of a break. Leanne is here. Ben is off to Ghana this week, which is going to be
tomorrow,
exciting.
Yeah. Off to Ghana.
Accra. Ever been to Ghana before?
Not yet, Gareth. I heard it's West Africa light, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, Ghana. I'd rather go to Ghana than anywhere else in
West
Africa. I think it's quite exciting.
I was thinking the exact same thing. My brother's off to Ghana next month. Hmm. He's off to Mozambique this week. I just hope there's some of it left. Yeah. With all the renewed flooding.
There's a new hurricane.
Yeah. But it's interesting. One of my clients is a Pan-African company. And a lot of the media I need to deal with are in Nigeria, Kenya, Rwanda, Uganda, Ghana. And it's amazing seeing the journalists in Ghana. I mean, when you send out a press release, an editor isn't under obligation to reply to you and say, I've posted your story with a link.
Sure, of course not, yeah.
And anyway, we have monitoring companies for that, so it's superfluous.
Yeah.
But the media in Ghana, each and every one of them replied, "Dear ma'am, thank you for your story. Here's a link to where we've posted it.
Wow.
Can we arrange an interview?"
Sound like nice people.
They're just nice people.
Yeah. Mm. I've heard any good things. I've got friends who are from Ghana originally, and they are among the nicest people, and it's a family, obviously, so they might be one family in a billion, but they're an amazing family, and all of them are hugely successful. They're all incredibly, what would you call them? Ambitious people.
Dedicated, hardworking.
You can't meet one person from a country and assume that that's true for the country, obviously.
No.
But I've only really heard people from other countries saying that when they've gone to Ghana, they've been hugely impressed by the place.
One of the ICU nurses who nursed my mom through her year in ICU was Ghanaian, and she became like a mother to us. She would counsel us the whole way through our visits. She was just a mom, really, and such an amazing nurse.
Wow. Okay, there we go. So Ghana, look forward to it, Ben.
Right, you guys are completely jinxing me. I'm going to meet every tourist in Ghana now.
What are you doing there?
I've been going to have the worst time ever and come back. I don't know where you met, but that's not true.
We're shooting some scripts that I wrote for a client.
Oh, good.
So we're doing three little spots.
It's going to be
very interesting. I'm going to make a little behind-the-scenes video.
And why Ghana? Are you using Ghanaian actors? Or?
Yes. So, yeah. This client of ours, their biggest market is Ghana. So we're going to start this concept / campaign there.
They've
see how it goes.
A great accent as well.
Yeah.
Well, let's say that I'm very proud of everyone on this show starting to branch out into Africa. This is very exciting.
Well, we're now a pan-African show.
Pan-African podcast show, which we've always been. Yeah. But now we've got pan-African actual people working here.
I wonder if we've got some Ghanaian people listening right now. If you're in Ghana right now listening to us, then
if you're in Ghana right now, send through some tips and things that I should be doing.
Yeah, there we go. I had a very, very nice weekend. We drove
down. Free State.
Yeah, I drove down with the family. We had these family friends. The dad had a 70th birthday, which was absolutely lovely, and his kids had organized the whole thing. And these are people I've kind of grown up with, so I've known them all my life. Lovely, lovely people, lovely place, beautiful farm, just an incredibly fun, happy, you know, filled with kind of people who care about each other weekend, which was lovely. And the weather wasn't bad at all. I thought it was going to be freezing. I packed, like, the stuff that I went skiing with just in case. Because I've been caught in the Free State before.
Yeah, you don't want to.
And let me tell you, when it decides to be cold in the Free State, you have nowhere to hide. You could be wrapped in 200 layers and it'll get you in your bones.
Mm.
So I went down prepared for the Alps, but it ended up being quite lovely. And just really fun. Except the drive down with my parents and my sister and her boyfriend, because I was going to drive down with my sister and her boyfriend and one of our other family friends who was coming, and then he cancelled at the last minute. So we all ended up, you know, just going in one car. made sense.
Oh, when last did you travel with your parents? Who was driving?
A long time ago. It must have been, in my 20s.
Yeah.
I haven't driven with them on a long trip for a long time. And you know, my mother and father both smoke, as does my sister.
They didn't smoke in the car, did they?
No, but my
your
God.
Your parents quit smoking?
No, my dad did, and then he started again. So it's fantastic. What a win.
His mood was foul.
Listen, it's not fun. I mean, we had some interesting conversations and things, but I don't want to do that again. Ever again. I didn't like the way I felt about them at the end of the trip.
Did you fight with your sister in the back seat?
No, but she was so grumpy on the way back. I was in the front. I sat. I was co-pilot with my dad. But she was so grumpy on the way home because obviously we'd had a party the night before, and I decided to go to bed not too late. She decided to go to bed quite late.
Mm.
So she woke up on Sunday morning like a Valkyrie and was thoroughly unpleasant to all of us on the way home. So it was just, it was really not the best part of the trip, but such an awesome way to see the country. I mean, listen, the Free State can be very boring, but it can also be hauntingly beautiful. And at night, you know, when you look up at those stars and you see how many of them we don't see in Joburg, we have so much light pollution and air pollution in our big cities that when you look up, you see maybe 10 stars. And you're like, there it is.
Yeah.
I know that one.
There it is, the big dripper.
Right. But when you see, when you see these stars in the middle of, well, this was the southern Free State, so there really isn't any, I mean, the nearest town is probably Colesberg. And you see this array. You can actually see the Milky Way. It's a whole pattern. And, you know, there are parts of the Milky Way that are very dark because there are less stars in it. And there are parts which are obviously filled with... I spotted something called the Large Magellanic Cloud, which is... It looks like a cloud, but if you can get your eyes to focus properly, it's tiny, tiny, tiny stars all lumped together in this, what looks like a cloud.
Mm.
And it's just absolutely beautiful. I mean, the whole thing is just magnificent. I almost wanted to make a bed outside and just lie there looking at the stars. Because if you lie there long enough, or if you stand there looking at them long enough, they actually zoom in and out. And it almost feels like they're right on top of you.
Like at the planetarium.
Yeah. It does. It feels like the planetarium.
I know. Last week I was in the wild and same thing.
Yeah.
Just stars, and animal noises.
And again, what I love about places like that, yeah, there's some animal noises too. What I love about that is it just reintroduces you to how insignificant you and your stupid problems are.
Completely.
You know, this too shall pass, you dumb organism on the third rock from the sun. Who the hell do you think you are? I'm going to make the universe go to my personal preferences. I will make everything the way I want it to be. I'm going to wake up on Monday morning and I'm going to change the world.
And also, if I pray enough, it'll change.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that too. But just a lovely weekend. Really, really nice. And amazing food and just great people. So that was my summary of the weekend. Sia's not here this morning. He had a family funeral to deal with. You remember he spoke about this last week. So he'll be back tomorrow. And, how was your little trip?
Amazing, Gareth. Yeah. Well, you know, going back to the wild is what makes me really happy.
I've discovered this about you, but this is something you've only discovered about yourself recently.
That's where my heart shines the most. Yeah, it was cool. We were away for 4 weeks, so the longest we've been away domestically. And we saw a shit ton of really amazing animals, but like a huge variety. And then we got to play golf as well. So it was like the full package week, really. Just amazing.
Let's just be honest, too, that these are some of the things about South Africa that make it a really great place.
It's so true. Like, I was thinking about
talking about the shit things, right? And most of them human-related.
I was thinking about people who go live in these, like, shitty one-bedroom apartments in Europe. And they go, oh, yeah, but then we can travel. Like, the other day we went to Holland. The other day we went to Germany. It's like, yeah, but you basically... Okay, the other day I went to a game reserve. If that was his own country, it would be a far more interesting country a lot of the time because I get to go outside. Like, I'm brying every day. I see wild animals. Mm. Like, I do all these really amazing things. If you go just traveling, traveling is amazing. I believe it's something everyone should do. But essentially, you're going to be surrounded by people. Well, and you're going to be doing very kind of similar things.
Well, this is the point, right? Is that life is really, it's really interesting because you start to appreciate certain things at certain times. When you're a kid, you don't care about stuff. You care about what makes you want sweets and toys.
Exactly.
And you expect to see your favorite TV program whenever you want. if you had those three things as a kid, like everything's perfect. Then life is good. If you get to teenagers, all you want is to have women, or if you're a girl, guys, and you just want to have not even sex, because you probably don't get anywhere with that in your early teens. Certainly, I didn't. Later on in your teens, early 20s, maybe you start to actually, oh my God, there's sex with other... Fuck, these people are so fucking exciting, you know? And then that's all you think about. And then you think about having to get a job, and you think about money, and then money becomes the thing. And then you start to get annoyed with people. So it obviously changes over time. But ultimately, you decide at some point, look, these are the things that make me happy. You just said now, when you go into the wild, it's your favorite thing in the world.
Sure.
So you wouldn't have said that to the Ben of 10 years ago.
No, I wouldn't have. He probably wouldn't have heard me because he was drunk, passed out somewhere.
Even drinking, I'm like, you know, sometimes I just don't want to drink.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so weird. I never used to be like that. Like, every time I was happy, I wanted to drink.
It's like when you go away now and bring booze back. That's the thing.
Oh, wow. Did you do that? Actually,
every trip.
Wow.
Every trip I do that.
If you took Leanne with you, it wouldn't be a problem.
No.
You know, you always go with these expectations. Okay, right.
Lighten your load.
You would not need the trailer on the way back.
But like self-catering is my favorite thing, too, because you don't have to be around other people's. You have to go to a restaurant, which could be a good little bad thing. Self-catering is great because you eat whenever you want and you do whatever you want. So you always plan accordingly. Every time, I always bring booze back.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, driving down to the Southern Free State, there were so many trucks, and obviously this is a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, if our rail network worked better, we would be able to use that for all the heavy freight. But it is a good thing because you see that the economy's working. You see people driving these big trucks, obviously loaded with goods, up to Joburg, down to Cape Town, everything in between. And that makes me feel a bit better because obviously things in the economy now, statistically, are not as great as they could be. But I'm glad to see that happening. And then you see all these people who are on holidays, because this whole month of April is pretty much a write-off.
Mm. Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, there are people who've pretended to work. There are people who've said that they were at work. I've received so many of those. You know when you send someone an email and you get that automated response of, I'll be back on the 2nd of May. And I was like, but it's the 4th of April.
Well, now it's almost the 2nd of May.
And you see these people on the roads with their kids in the back of the car and their luggage piled up in the boot. And you see people with trailers, like Leanne said. I've never understood the trailer. I will never be a fan of the trailer. I have a problem with trailers. I think they're unnecessary. I think they're dangerous. I've heard horrible stories about trailers jackknifing and causing
We've
accidents.
We've always had a trailer going on holiday.
I hate trailers. What do you put in there? Bodies?
Well, things. You know, this. I'm going away in May to our annual Hazy View retreat.
Oh, yeah, you do that every year.
And we have to take two trailers because my dad takes his bikes.
There's bottle stores there, Leanne. There's this lovely new mall. I went there last month.
We've got my mum's wheelchair, all of her care.
Okay, that's fair enough.
And then all the booze.
Oh, there's a really...
And all self-catering food as well. But yeah, there's a Woolworths there and there are bottle stores.
You must go to the Checkers.
The Checkers.
Yeah,
I've been there.
There's a local tip for Hazy View.
Yeah, it's like a tour.
That's much better. Don't go to Pick and Pair. Don't go to the spa.
Yeah, there are a few of those places where it's just chicken legs and live animals that have just been frozen while they were walking that are sticking out of the freezers.
Really? Like there'll be a hoof?
Yes.
Wow.
With no plastic covering them or anything. Just
That's
sticking
amazing.
Out of the freezer.
Just a hoof and a pair of horns.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, we saw the first time, because I've been doing game drives the last, maybe call it 6 or 7 years, right? And we saw like a baby elephant, but like 1 month old, so baby.
Mm-hmm.
You actually missed it until it got onto the road. It was so small.
Aww.
And you have these kind of moments where you think like, okay, beaches are cool, partying's great, all that kind of stuff. And there's tiny little moments of nature. There's nothing like it, nothing at all. going back to the point about you feeling insignificant, when you see like when you see life like that, and then you go into a shopping mall and there's like a equivalent size human throwing things on the floor and pissing their pants and stuff, and you think I'd be happier here.
Mm.
Well, I've told you 100 times about this account that I follow called Human Progress on Twitter, and I don't want to be boring about it, but they always publish such interesting articles. You know, we're always being told that we're running out of resources, the earth's going to die, everything's bad, we're polluting everything that we touch, and humans are a disease, and blah, blah, blah. Well, we're not running out of resources, apparently. Stanford University published an amazing new report. Sorry, this is the University of Maryland, because the problem was Stanford University, 1968, Paul Ehrlich reported a population bomb research project, which got everybody frightened and said, oh my God, we're going to run out of everything, food and water.
Mass panic.
It's going to be a disaster, and once we hit 7 billion, everything's going to go to shit. Well, people are richer in the world per capita than they've ever been. They're healthier, all of those things. Here's the interesting research that's just been published, all right, which this has been authored with Brigham Young University and the University of Maryland, and an economics professor called Gail Pooley, who revisited that whole debate around the population explosion.
Gail Poo for short.
Gail Poo for short, correct. You know her?
I do.
Okay. So they looked at the prices of 50 foundational commodities covering energy, food, materials, and metals. They have found that between 1980 and 2017, the world's population increased, obviously, from 4.46 to 7.55 billion. So it increased by 69%.
Whoa.
All right? Yet resources have become substantially more abundant, not less. More abundant. So they've introduced 4 new ways of measuring the abundance of resources. First of all, they looked at inflation-adjusted prices of commodities. These fell by 36%. So the price of things has gone down for the average person. So when you get up this morning, you go off to work, and you feel sorry for yourself because there's not enough money in the bank, or you owe this person money, or this is too expensive, and you need to do this, but you can't afford it. And just remember that prices have come down since 1969 by 36% on average. And that particularly counts, obviously, for electronics and consumables.
Okay, yes.
Stuff like that. All right, taking that analysis a step further, they've come up with a time price of commodities, which allows them to cost resources in terms of human labor. That, relative to average global hourly income, commodity prices have fallen by 64.7% between 1980 and 2017.
So even though it feels like fuel's going up, food's going up,
the cost of production of these things has come down.
Mm.
All right, and
I'm going through this feed now. It's fascinating story.
That's amazing. So the price elasticity of population. Now this allows them to measure sensitivity of resource availability to population growth. All right. So what they've done is that they've figured the time price of commodities has declined by 0.934% for every 1% increase in the population. So let me put that differently. Over the last 40 years. Every additional human being born on our planet appears to have made resources proportionately more plentiful for the rest of us. Isn't that incredible?
Mm. Fascinating.
All right, so actually we're getting a really good picture here instead of the normal miserable picture. Finally, they created something called a Simon Abundance Index based on this Professor Simon who did the original thesis. This takes the time price commodities and the change in global population, and they estimate the overall resource abundance. So the Earth, according to this, because there's a compounded annual growth rate of 4.32% between 1980 and 2017 in resource availability, means the Earth is 379.6% more plentiful now than it was in 1980.
Goodness me.
Wow.
Because people are getting cleverer about it.
Yeah, and we're using what we've got, and we're also, obviously, there's not enough, but there's quite a lot of recycling going on. But essentially, we've been able to take a cake that was a cupcake and turn it into a big cake. And now, it looks like, according to the graph that we're shown, about what could happen going forward, If we're clever and if we're careful and we use technology and we communicate with each other and we let resources flow by the free market throughout the world and we don't have governments damming it up and fiddling with it, we could be on our way to making that cake even bigger. Now, isn't that exciting?
So even more confirmation that as a country, South Africa should align itself with the rest of the world, yet our government wants to go back to the dark ages of stupid ideas.
But of course, because that's where they will...
Listen, that matters.
I was talking to two people at this party I was at on Saturday, and they said, oh, you know, you used to be this very pro-South African guy. And I said to them, yeah, well, I'm not anymore. So they were quite sort of, they were frowning, and they were looking unhappy about what does it mean. Does it mean, you know, the minute you say that, people think you're going to immigrate. That's your plan. Because that's all South Africans can do. They're either we're going to be all for it, gung-ho, back Cyril, Cyril's the best, or else you have to leave South Africa.
Moving to Perth.
The conversations are just exactly like that right
total
now.
Total extremes. There's no one has any nuanced
position.
Give Cyril
a chance.
You know, and frankly, if you're one of those people who has one of those opinions, I don't want to hear from you, because both of them are polar and stupid and binary and don't necessarily have any thought attached to them. If you're a massive supporter of Cyril and the New Dawn, you're stupid. You're just stupid. You're not paying attention to any of the important statistics. And you're not looking at the economy, and you're not looking at what the ANC's done. And you just somehow are giving yourself an out, like you're giving Cyril, where you give him a free pass for the last 9 years of the Zuma administration, of which for the majority of that time he was deputy president. And you're just saying, oh, well, let's just don't look here. This is an ugly morass of incompetence and corruption. But don't look here. Cyril's a good guy. He just had his hands tied. And look, his plan is working, slowly but surely. Okay, fine. If you want to go along with that, that's fine. But I can't put my head in the sand. And similarly, the people go, well, there's no option, but let's just get out of here. And really, unless you have lots of money, you're going to a life that's not going to be as good. Forget about it.
Yeah, but really lots of money, though.
No, I mean, you need to be...
I'm comfortable, lots of money.
Right, you need to have... you need to be a dollar millionaire in the hundreds.
Well, no, not that much.
Okay, maybe in the tens. Not... If you have $1 million, I don't know if that's enough. I think you need more than that, even, to live, to get the kind of life you've got here. And if you don't, well, then, you know what, you can also still go, you could probably go to somewhere shittier and make yourself a nice enough life. I don't know, some people say it's because they're kids. You know, a lot of people like to make their kids the reason that they make decisions, which is ridiculous, because your kids would like to grow up happy. And if your parents are stretched, and they've made decisions that have put them in an awful position because they want to put their kids into a certain school or send them to a university somewhere, your kids are going to hate you, and you'll end up divorced, and you'll ruin them emotionally and psychologically, even if they get a great education. But that's not my business. I don't have children. None of my business. But the deal is, like, those are not the only two options, to throw everything in with Cyril or to throw everything out and move.
But that's just it. It's like, why?
There are positions in between.
Exactly, where you can make a difference and do better things and have a decent life.
Find a way to expose yourself less to the politics. And I always ask people this. How often in a week, apart from the news, which you can block out now, how often in a week do the politicians actually enter your life? Very seldom. And a lot of people in this country have got great lives because they've got their own water and electricity supply going. They don't need to deal with government there, right?
Mm.
A lot of them, we all have to pay tax. That's just a reality of living in the world. And I'm afraid, as much as people like me would like to idealize the idea that ultimately tax will fall, and maybe it will, it's not going to happen anytime soon, because these governments are parasites. Anywhere in the world, the government's after your money. That's how they pay for them and their friends.
Well, that's how they stay out of government.
Correct. So that's just a reality. But a lot of these people are sending their kids to private schools. They're sending their loved ones to private hospitals and places where they can get medical care and all these things that are now outside of the government. The government really is there for people who don't have an option, and they don't love it either. Don't think that some poor people in some village somewhere are thrilled that they've got the substandard shit service that the government have provided for them. That's just all they've got. They don't know any better. And that doesn't make them happy, doesn't make them sad, it just keeps them where they are. And frankly, that's probably what government want. They want these people to be trapped.
Of course.
So, on a daily basis, they don't have a lot to do with you, right? There are two things that will save us. Number one, technology. There are ways to connect to the world now that were not possible before. And there are ways to create wealth that there are now that were not possible before.
Yeah, it's boundless.
The biggest businesses in the world, the most valuable companies on earth right now, are companies that don't exist in a building or make a product that you can touch with your hands. They're companies that are based on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, that's incredible. That wasn't possible 15 years ago. People would have laughed you out of the room 20 years ago if you told them there's this whole new area of the economy that will develop, which is going to be amazing.
Mm. If you said, I'd like to create an app that can help people in Africa pay for school fees.
There we go. They would have laughed at you. They would have said to you, that's impossible. You have to go and talk to the Minister of Education in Ghana. And you would have been chased out of the room. So, the technology is the one thing that's going to save you, no matter where you are in the world. And this goes for people in other countries where governments are incompetent. And in countries where governments are good, by the way. I mean, don't tell me that the British are thrilled about this useless stalemate that they're in because of Brexit at the moment. Don't tell me that people in Canada love Justin Trudeau and the fact that he can't get his foot out of his mouth long enough to do something properly. There are problems everywhere, and people always think their problems are the worst problems. The other thing that you can't stop, that governments can't even stop, is the free market. It's so powerful, even China has to bend to it. China is supposedly a communist country. China is the biggest player in international trade. They can't wait to sell you something, and they can't wait to manufacture something, and they can't wait to be more productive, and they get up earlier than everyone else, and like Jack Ma said the other day, they go to sleep later than everyone else. The Chinese love them some free market. So don't believe all that communist shit. The Chinese understand the free economy better than almost anybody. And it's all a big masquerade, this communist thing. It's a big, we'll pretend. The Chinese government are the single biggest investors in the world. All right, now that's not what communists do. And they're also hugely on the plus side of the balance sheet, which is also something communists have never got right. So by definition, they can't be communists. They are free market capitalists, but they put on a show because they have an ideology that they're trying to separate out from it. It's complicated. It's like undoing a blanket, thread by thread. So don't for a minute believe that the free market is not the most powerful thing in the world. Just look at what happens when China's growth rate drops. They all shit themselves. Look at how many people have been lifted out of poverty in China. That's the free market working its magic. So if we trust in those two things, technology and the free market, everything's going to be fine. Then everything will make sense. Then it doesn't matter where in the world you live. So get over it. Stop this nonsense of having only two options.
I saw a really interesting thing on Facebook. There was one of those political kind of debate / interview things, and someone from the Capitalist Party was saying, you should focus more on the cloud than on the land.
Yes.
And of course, heads started to explode in the audience because people were there, no doubt, chanting the whole land issue because that's the only thing they've got to say. And they'd even listen to the guy's point. They were too busy shouting things like white monopoly capital and like, you know, what do you know? You know, the guy was saying, look, we've got to align ourselves to the rest of the world. Technology is going to thrive, take us forward, create jobs, create wealth. And if we just focus on this land thing, then we're going to become a slave to someone else.
Well, that's exactly right. But I'll tell you, the land thing we can get into a little bit later on, but I was there with farmers, and I mean, these guys have they have the toughest life, and it is hard to be a farmer.
Yeah, and certainly they've got to be feeling the stress.
Sure.
If
you want to be a farmer, you go ahead. It's the toughest job of all. Jane came in here all stupid the other day, and she said she's voting EFF. Because she saw more posters for Julius than Limpopo, and she reckons that that's a reason to vote for him. So she said she's going to vote EFF, and I said to her afterwards, why? I mean, you might have heard this on the show. And she said, because she'll get some land. By the way, Jane has a little bit of land in Limpopo, which makes her among the top 2-5% of the population of South Africa in terms of having things.
Mm.
All right. she reckons that that land's going to come with free cattle and free equipment. Gosh. And
people to work it.
The only free cattle are the ones that escaped an accident on the M1 this weekend. There are two cows that are missing.
Just two?
Somewhere between Corlett and Greyston. So those are the only free cattle available at the moment.
If you want to farm, go and talk to real farmers. They'll tell you how difficult it is, how tight those margins are, how you have to buy expensive equipment and feed these animals, because they don't just wander around eating. You actually have to feed them in addition to that if you want to grow them and sell them. And you have to give them water. And you have to do fencing.
And
otherwise they'll run away.
Tick treatments.
Yeah, you have to dip them.
You've got to feed them.
So all of this shit, if you want to do that, you go ahead. Vote for Julius and he can explain to you how hard it is to farm. And he can set you up. And let's see how well you do.
Well, he won't, because once you voted, he doesn't care about you anymore.
No.
So Jane will be left with all she has, which is her stupid. Just walk around saying, I have my stupid.
All right, let's get into some news. Tens of thousands of people in the far north of Mozambique are bracing for violent flooding and torrential rain as it pushes up water levels after the death and devastation wrought by Cyclone Kenneth. This is the newest cyclone. The first floods have already been seen in some parts of Pemba, the capital of Cabo Delgado province, as well as in surrounding areas, lashed by heavy rain since daybreak. Fields on the outskirts of the city that had been lush green just a day earlier are now brown with flood water. We're very worried, said the government, because according to forecasts, heavy rain is expected for the next 4 days. We expect rainfall to be twice as much as that which accompanied Cyclone Idai. Ay, 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 ay. Not good.
No, that's so close to each other in time. It's just...
Yeah, it's awful.
This I don't know really if anyone's expected to... recover.
And Mozambique is not a country that has resources. Mm-mm. I mean, Mozambique's living on a knife edge anyway. There's just no money in that country. It's one of the poorest countries in the world. It's got nothing going for it. It really is just a disaster. And the government there is basically it's like the municipality in some small South African town, except shittier people, less money, and absolutely zero idea of how to deal with a disaster. So good luck, Mozambique. That's all I can say. Because you're not going to get it from your own government. You're going to need international intervention. And I hope it comes. Gauteng Education MEC Panyaza Lesufi has opened applications for the 2020 academic year. He was addressing the media at the department's Johannesburg offices. Applications for this academic year for grade 1 and 8 will open at 8 a.m. on the 13th of May and close at midnight on the 15th of July. Now, why this is important? Because people only really think about this when it happens. Nobody plans in advance. A lot of parents are caught off guard, or they're not particularly good parents, and then they don't know that they need to register their kids
oopsie
for school. And then January rolls around, and they go, oh, but why? Why can't my child come to this school?
Oh, then you get other parents whose kids have just been born, and they're enrolling them in primary school.
Exactly. We urge all parents to go online where they need to log on. That is gdeadmissions.gov.za. It's not gdeadmissions, although you could read it that way. gdeadmissions.gov.za, all right? gdeadmissions.gov.za. The department is pleased to announce that the capacity of the admission online system has increased from 40 to 50,000 simultaneous users, so they can take 50,000 people at the same time. Applications have been opened early this year to provide adequate time for planning and allocation of resources. Whew, hard to be a parent. Go register your kid in, what, May of the previous year? Sure.
Yeah.
The petrol price, guess what? Do you think it's going to go up or down?
This is very difficult.
It's going to go up, Gareth.
It's going to go up.
Yes.
Yes. Diesel will go up by 1 cent per litre, and illuminating paraffin will decrease by 3 cents a litre, but petrol will go up by 54 cents in
May. If only our cars ran on paraffin, we'd be fine.
Well, yeah, because that's only going up by 3 cents a litre. But the Energy Department has announced a petrol price hike of 54 cents per litre for all grades of petrol next month. Diesel will go up by 1 cent, as I said, illuminating paraffin by 3. In March, the petrol price went up by a whopping 1.34 rand. So, you know, having a car used to be something that might not have been, it might not have been able to get a new car, but you could have got an old car.
Hmm.
Now the fuel is more expensive than the car, I'm so downgrading. I'm selling this thing in the next month, guaranteed. This car I have. I'm going to go down to the cheapest little thing that runs on the smell of an oil rag. And I don't care if people think, oh, look, Gareth's so poor. I really don't give a shit. Because
that's all they can think.
I do not.
And what are they going to do with it?
Yeah, exactly. And so what?
And then what? You won't get picked for gym class?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to buy a cheap-ass car, something that runs on 5 centiliters of petrol a year. That's all I want. And we should all do that, right? Sorry, car manufacturers, but those days are over. Although, even there, like, cars have become so much more fuel efficient.
And also, I mean, my cousin bought a 1200 car just recently.
Yeah.
Took me for a spin in it. It's got plenty power for it that you need. For
Yeah, they're very smart what they do with those small engines now.
It's amazing.
Although that said, I was in a huge car last week.
A gas guzzler.
And it's fun.
No, if you can, go for it. No one's going to stop you.
You got the money. There's a big reason why these cars get bigger and better.
Yeah. Here's a really, really terrible story, but luckily no one was hurt or injured or killed in this. An Air Zimbabwe plane experienced a malfunction on one of its engines, causing a brief fire on Sunday evening at Oratambo Airport.
What would possess you to fly Air Zimbabwe?
Maybe it's all you got. Maybe it's super cheap. Maybe you didn't even notice. You just booked your ticket, and then the next thing you saw, it was Air Zimbabwe.
Or maybe you booked SAA, and then you arrived. It's like, oh, yeah, this is our...
Oh, it's one of those...
Code-sharing partners.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So the airline confirmed a Boeing 767 servicing flight UM462 experienced a malfunction in one of its engines, causing a brief tailpipe fire.
Jesus. Well, we don't want tailpipe fires.
No.
However, the malfunction did not threaten the continuation of the flight and safety of the crew. They landed it safely in Harare. As Zimbabwe also confirmed, their engineers have commenced an investigation and a report will be issued in due course. I have to say, like, if you say you're an engineer for Air Zimbabwe, I'm going to be a little bit worried about the planes you're servicing, even if you're a great engineer. I know that's unfair of me, but Zimbabwe is not known for being the place where the greatest engineers work on the greatest aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Know what I mean?
Oh, you'd be surprised. It's probably South African.
It's probably very good people. Who knows? I'm just saying. Not going to make me very excited. And I've never flown Air Zimbabwe. I don't think I ever will. Not on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is, you know, obviously this Avengers Endgame is such a big deal, right?
Oh, I've heard so many funny stories around this.
Now, there are no spoilers here, so don't panic. But Avengers Endgame, the final part of the superhero series, has so many emotional moments that people are becoming teary-eyed while watching it. But a strange incident happened in China a few days ago when a 21-year-old girl was hospitalized as she could not stop crying during the film.
My gosh.
According to Fox 8... Zhao Li, is her name, cried uncontrollably in the cinema and began hyperventilating and had trouble breathing. She was taken to hospital, where she was administered oxygen to normalize her breathing. I saw that the patient had been breathing heavily, and according to the description from her peers, her crying caused hyperventilation. We immediately gave her oxygen and relaxed her by appeasement, reducing her hyperventilation symptoms. Just unbelievable.
Jeez.
So this movie, the 22nd installment of the Infinity War saga, it's amazing how many movies they made, huh? Premiered globally on Friday. I might go and see that this week.
But now, if it's the end game, is this it?
I hope so.
Because they would never stop this cash
cow. Well, they've got all these valuable products now. Spider-Man and Thor and Hulk and Iron Man. They can't really throw that asset away, can they?
It'd be nice if it took a break, though, and actual cinema could then maybe flourish again, because...
Yeah, someone could make a movie that wasn't...
Someone could actually make a movie, because you can spend 3 years... Guy Ritchie made this point. You can spend 3 years making a movie for it to come up against Marvel something, and you make nothing at the box office.
Yeah, you're screwed. That's
but
a good point.
I heard in Hong Kong, some guy got beaten up because he was standing outside of a cinema shouting spoilers. So people beat him.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Don't be like that.
No,
guy.
I just think like there's got to be like I'm the last person that wants things regulated, but maybe we should regulate how many superhero movies come out, because it's all there is.
No, I don't think we want to regulate it, Ben. I think you want to let the market do what the market does. If people want to go and see Mrs. Dollarway at Cinema Nouveau, they're allowed as well.
I get that. If you want to see French penis, there's still Cinema Nouveau. But, I mean, I think it would bring the best out of the superhero genre, because it is a genre now, if they maybe just didn't have, like, 73 a year.
Hmm. Let's see. Certainly there's
just
appetite.
It's just the romantic in me speaking.
There's appetite.
Idealist.
I was saying to Gord last week, you weren't here, that it's a bad year for geeks because Endgame essentially is the end of the story of the superheroes from the Marvel universe. Star Wars ends at the third in its triad of movies here, which is supposedly the sequel to the original Star Wars. So that's the end of that story. And then Game of Thrones ends. So if you're a geek in any of those three camps, you're in big trouble this year.
Or you need to start making a movie.
Year of tragedy. Come up with a new franchise.
There's a gap in the market.
J.K. Rowling, what do you got? Tolkien's dead.
All J.K. Rowling's got is hate for Piers Morgan. You're not going to make a franchise out of that.
Well, it could be, but a very boring franchise. All right, just buy a hybrid, Gareth, says someone else. We're moving in that direction anyway. You can get a 2 or 3 liter per 100 kilometer in some hybrids. That's amazing. Amazing. 2 or 3 liters per 100 kilometers. Wow.
Sure.
Josh says, good morning, Gareth, Ben, Leanne. And quick thought. I see all these political party posters on the street poles, and I think instead of spending our money on those, they should build houses of toilets for schools. Now, Josh, you brought this up the other day, and I think it's a crap idea because this is not the government. Political parties pay for their posters. The whole reason a political party pays for these things is because they want votes. They're advertising, effectively. They're not allowed to build houses and toilets and schools with that money. First of all, there isn't enough. It's an advertising budget. It's not an infrastructure budget. And why should they do the work of government? How many schools do you know of that have been built in the last while? You don't know of any, unless you live in that area. Why? Because nobody publicizes that stuff. I don't care if someone in, you know,
Limpombo.
Yeah, some faraway little village gets a school. I'm very happy for them, don't get me wrong. But it's not going to make me change my vote. They've built a school in the Siki Siki. Suddenly I'm excited. They should be doing that as government anyway. I don't want political parties to take that over.
But look, street pole ads should be banned anyway because it's just litter. We don't need to see that. They can all have a website. All right. They can all be given one website, and we can go to it if we please.
All right, and then a couple other messages we'll get to a little later on. But first, Ben has some long-awaited sport. People have been desperate. They've been on a diet.
So much so you just don't even give me an intro.
Go on.
Gosh, there we go.
I'll do it again. Go.
Okay. Today on the sport, Gareth, thrilling scenes from Baku in the F1. Super Rugby taking a bit of a downer as Springboks start to get injured. And a female golfer goes away from social media because of hurtful comments.
Say it again.
Right. Lots of football over the weekend because, as you know, as the sun starts to take effect in the Northern Hemisphere, especially in England, when you see forearms on the fans, you know the season is almost done. And it's a thrilling time to be out there. Now, if you are a Liverpool fan, great. There's still a chance you can win the league. Hammering Huddersfield 5-0 on Friday definitely helped them out. But Man City being Man City, the true champions that they will soon become, they decided to just go out and have a little 1-0 win. Did they? Where's that result? Yes, 1-0 over Burnley. They got
needed
it done.
To check.
Other teams looking to do well in the top four. Of course, when you're in the top four, you go through to the Champions League. Spurs, they trotted out against West Ham. Bang, they lost. 1-0. Arsenal, horrific. They lost 3-0 to Leicester. And then, so Man United and Chelsea then squared up because obviously points are so important right now for that top four. Man United drew 1-1 with Chelsea. Dreadful match, all things told, really. Lack of quality from both sides. But what does that mean for the log? Well, Leanne, because you are so nice, I shall tell you. The log right now is looking like it was for so, so long. The top two teams. It was always going to be a two-horse race. Man City
and
Liverpool.
Liverpool.
Those are your two horses. Man City are inside the rail. Liverpool are cropping the crap out of a thigh right behind them. At just 1 point. Wow. Spurs are in third on 70 points, right? This is where it gets interesting. Chelsea are fourth on 68. Then we've got Arsenal on 66 and Man United on 65. All of those teams can realistically go into the top four. It's going to be very interesting because there's only, I think, three games left. And Arsenal being Arsenal, well, they'll no doubt screw it up big time. Man United don't seem to have any more puff left in the tank. So it looks like Chelsea and Tottenham. Well, if that could be it. Very happy fans for those respective teams. In the PSL, which of course is the local Premier League here in South Africa, Pirates, they're still on top. But a lot of controversy in the Sivasspor United versus Wits game. It finished 1-1. Gavin Hunt at the end basically calling out for a whole bunch of skullduggery. It was a very interesting interview that he gave, because Gavin definitely does shoot from both the hips. Mm-hmm. Therefore, he has a loose mouth as well. But in a good way. He's a guy who knows everything about the game, gives his all, and he says just absolute bullshit. I think he said he mentioned boardroom politics or refereeing or something about small teams never getting a chance. But then he also forgets that his team isn't a small team anymore.
Right.
As I've won the league, they've got a very good squad. They compete in Africa. So he's right until he calls his team a small team, which they are not. And then tomorrow, Sundowns will be in action. They'll take on Black Leopards at 7:30. Also tomorrow will be the Champions League. That is back. Gareth has said, I can't come back tomorrow, though, so I won't talk about it. We'll catch up next week, no doubt. Some interesting action from the F1. Now, Azerbaijan, Baku, the street circuit there, is high pace, got the longest straight, generally lots of overtaking opportunities. It's just a really, really good race, and lots of crashes, because, let's be honest, that's what gets people to the race. Well, yes, there's actually very few incidents, apart from the fact that Daniel Ricciardo seems to have forgotten the ability to out of drive. It was actually a very clean and interesting race. Now, in qualifying, Ferrari's fast cars, because all you ever hear about is how fast Ferraris are, and they'll be the fastest car this season. We heard it last season, we're hearing it now, but what does it mean in the track? Bugger all, really. Unfortunately, Leclerc, who is the top Ferrari guy.
Who?
Leclerc.
Oh, okay.
The French guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Vettel. Vettel's basically just hanging on. He's just hanging on for a paycheck right now, as you showed yesterday as well, a pretty baseless drive. But Leclerc, he is he's the big talent, and he unfortunately took a big crash in qualifying. So he was on 10th on the grid, but then because of penalties elsewhere, he moved it to 8th, and he drove the first half like an absolute champion. He was on these sort of harder compound tires, which meant he was left for dead at the start, but he was just going faster and faster and faster, and he had a really commanding lead. Ferrari then, I don't know if they all went for a shit or they just had a bit of a coffee break, they left him out there on the tires, everyone caught him up. And then before he knew it, he was no longer a feature in the race. And what happens when Ferrari makes a mistake? Mercedes get a 1-2. It's as simple as that. And Valtteri Bottas, who is Finnish, he finished first, Gareth.
Okay.
Followed by Lewis Hamilton. So, I mean, I know there's, what, 17 races to go in the season? But Ferrari are going to have to pull rabbits, jaguars, unicorns, dragons, and Sasquatches out of a hat.
Sounds like trying to beat the White Walkers.
Try and beat Mercedes from here.
Sure.
It's that simple, really. And if you think Formula 1's boring because Mercedes keep making a 1-2, well, the other teams could also step up. I think Ferrari are making Mercedes look very good at the moment, and that doesn't have to be the case. Unfortunately, the other teams don't quite have the firepower. But still, if Ferrari can just somehow get all their tricks together, I just don't think they can. I don't know if it's the quirk that they go for, whatever it is, it's just not looking so good for them right now. In Super Rugby, well, people are sweating over the injuries of Springboks at the moment. I love that phrase. Imagine you are so perturbed by the injury of someone, you start to sweat. Well, that's exactly the case. Jesse Creel's got a dodgy ankle. Peter Setsutoye's got a dodgy shoulder. And there's a couple other players, like Warren Whiteley as well. These are all people you want playing well this year because it's a World Cup year. That, and along with the fact that Evan Etzebeth has only played about 4 games, it's a bit worrying. Just look at the results quickly. The Hagawara, they beat the Brumbies 20-15. The Stormers beat the Bulls 24-23 in the first match I've seen in a good long while. It's quite entertaining. Waratahs, they didn't do so well, but the Sharks beat them 23-15. Big result there for the Sharks, who have been quite woeful the last month. The Hurricanes hammered the Chiefs 47-19. The Highlanders went to the Sunwolves, and they won 52-0. Huge result there. The Crusaders, they beat the Lions 36-10. Crusaders are the best team over and over and over. And those were your big results from the weekend, really. And other rugby news? Well, we all hear about big stars going to Europe to play rugby, right? And it's the same in football. But then in football, towards the end of the careers, you do get some stars who actually go to America. But you never see that in rugby, right? Because there's obviously no market for it. But a French star, Mathieu Bastereau, he is going to America to go play club rugby in the States. Is this going
to
be?
I can't wait to see them pronounce his surname. Yeah.
Is this going to be the start of a player migration towards latter stages of his career? He's 30, okay, so he's not even in the latter stages yet. Yeah. But he is the first major signing that New York Rugby United, in the Major Rugby League, of course America will call it that, are bringing him on for one season on the loan. So he's currently contracted to Toulon, okay, that's where he makes his money, that's where he's the big star. But he's having a little bit of a dip into the American market. Is it sustainable? Well, I don't know. Probably not, but it's a decent story. And it could be the sign that Americans are starting to give slightly more of a shit about rugby, which I think could only
that's
be a good
fantastic
thing.
Okay,
good. All of us and yeah, the world of sport.
Because it's certainly more interesting than their stupid American football.
Yeah. But that's institutionalized.
Stop. Advertising.
But it's a religion, Gareth. It's a religion. And like all religions, you do not question it. Lexi Thompson, who is one of golf's greatest female stars, unfortunately is taking a hiatus from social media.
Why?
Because she says people are just mean. And she's just tired of dealing with that shit. So she wants to just focus on herself. So she's taking a break. But she does say to her friends, her true fans, that she still appreciates their support and well wishes. But like, stories like this, okay, you've probably forgotten whoever I've spoken about already, but I always think, like, if you're a sports star, what is the real plus side of being on social media?
There isn't one.
There isn't really. Because you're only going to say, if you're going to try to be yourself, you'll be controversial and lose endorsements.
Your sponsors will want you to live up to certain expectations.
So you have a social media because of your sponsorability. And she says, my management will now take over my social media. Okay, so you get management to do that.
Mm.
Being on social media itself, you look at that and people are going, ah, I hate your ears. It's like, I'm playing sport, I'm trying to be the best. What the hell, I didn't care about you. So she's doing horrible. What I think a lot of other sports stars will start doing more and more, unfortunately, because of troll culture. And
well,
there's no real upside.
I mean, you know, like if you want to go down to the dirtiest, seediest part of town and stand with, you know, sweaty people all around you, everyone shouting at each other, that's what Twitter is. If you don't want to do that, clear it out of your life.
Yeah.
Mm.
Don't need it.
Good on her, I say.
No. So if you're looking for sincere posts by Lexi Thompson, she's taking a break.
She's not interested in talking to you.
Her management shall be sharing things from her sponsors and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe pictures of puppies too.
Probably.
Well, if I was her management, I'd put some puppies out there.
Yeah. Why not? And all your hatred won't get to her anymore because her management will just block you.
And I tell you what, she's 24, she's richer than you, and she does exactly what she wants to do every single day of her life. So she's okay. She's okay.
She'll be fine.
All them sticks and stones and all the other kind of stuff you threw at her, she doesn't care.
No. Good for her. Well done to you, Lexi.
That is it for your sport for today.
All right. Very good. That's quite a lot, Ben. I don't think you need to feel too bad.
Well, seeing as Anthea's not here and Sia's not here, I think I wrote the time quite nicely too, Gareth.
So too, yeah.
Not
right,
bad, you know, coming off the bench after a week.
When we come back, we'll find out from Leanne Moll about a number of things, including a male model who died on the runway in Brazil. Male model. It used to be just female models didn't eat.
Not male models.
And we'll find out about a Kempton Park man who beheaded his girlfriend and stuffed her body in the fridge.
Happens right here, baby.
The East Rand continues to excel. They really do.
Wow.
Always developing new and interesting things, the East Rand. Well done.
This is CliffCentral.com.